You're listening to the only League of Legends podcast formally endorsed by science. This is Low Elo Episode 1. I'm your host, Jeff, a.k.a. Eat Crayons, and with me is my co-host, Dave, better known on the internet as Compy386. Say hello, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
And here's the news. First up, we've got a couple of new skins. Sandstorm Katarina and Superb Villain Vigor. It's kind of a toss-up for me which one of these is cooler.
Well, the toss-up for me is whether it's Vigor or Vigor. Or Vager.
I'm not really sure if there's substantial literary evidence to suggest one pronunciation is better than the other. Do we have, like, a video of maybe Freak or Nikasaur saying them out loud? Could we just reference that?
Screw Freak and Nikasaur. Who would listen to them? We need to get a video of Hotshot GG saying it.
Oh. Well, that's a good point. Let's find a video of Hotshot GG saying that. So how is CLG doing these days anyways?
They're sitting on top of the standings. They have, 600 circuit points? The next is, Epic?
Or yeah, that's for the like North American Challenger circuit.
Yep. So, but they have, like, they won MLG Raleigh, they won IGN Pro, they won tournaments like all year, and then they haven't placed in the last three or so.
Yeah, I know they placed first in like the first two, and they placed second in like the third and in China, and then they had a showing at IGN Pro League 3, and I don't know, it's like we haven't seen anything from them since, but they're kind of the undisputed hot shots for the U.S. right now. I think they have the all-star lineup.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, Hotshot GG is your standard, you know, household name by now.
Well, yeah, but top of that, even like Big Fat LP, everyone knows Big Fat LP at this point.
Well, yeah, I've heard stories about mothers naming their twin children Hotshot and Big Fat, you know, in honor of CLG.
Well, I hope that the rest of the team, like Saint Vicious and Choster and all, don't get jealous by those stories. But I think CLG, even though they haven't been placing top three in the last few tournaments, they're still kind of the ones to watch.
Oh yeah, of course they're the stars. They're the prima donnas. They're the reason people show up in North America, anyway.
Right. I'm sure there's a huge audience out there that's asking us why we're not talking about the European circuit. But I think that's just because we haven't gotten to it yet. But
they're asking us in funny accents, so it doesn't matter.
Funny to us, normal to them, and that makes it hilarious.
Yeah.
I know on the European circuit, I think that there's just been fewer tournaments really going on. I know that the points, and I'm, you know, I don't know entirely how the circuit points are all being tallied, but the overall scores for the European circuits are just lower. Fnatic MSI, they're coming in at 250, and they're number one. You compare that against CLG with what are they in? They're in first place still, right?
CLG, yeah, they're number one with 625. Solo Mid coming off their win from MLG Providence is number two with 425.
Yeah, that was a big showing from them, considering they really hadn't been placing very well.
It's the first tournament they won, and interestingly, they beat Epic in the final, and Epic hasn't won a major tournament either.
Yeah, it's true, but they've been pulling in a lot of second places. I mean, we're talking MLG Rally, IGN Pro League 3, and MLG Providence. Epic took second in every single one of those.
Yeah.
And that's why they're in third place right now, because they can't place first, but they're still placing at least.
Mm-hmm.
So it's keeping them competitive at least.
Yeah, but nobody's naming their children after, you know, who's an Epic? Exactly.
Ouch. Ouch. No. Burn Epic.
Is that...
Well, I don't know. That seems just like a little bit of a diss on Epic. They've got some big names too.
Well, maybe it's just their names, you know, like Westrice. I mean, having a kid named Hotshot or Big Fat, that's kind of cool. I mean, you can kind of see a rap career in their future, but a kid named West Rice?
Either way, the ones that I really want to see come up and go, but before we move on, is Goose, just because they have a great name. And for people who don't know, it's not just Goose. You know, I think they're like the number six seed right now, but they're a picture of a goose. Is that not the best name for a competitive team you've ever heard?
Yeah, I can't. That would be really great to hear Freak and, you know, trying to comment that game.
Oh, absolutely.
Picture of a goose. It's funny. You know, like every, he'd do that for like 5 hours. And it wouldn't be funny to anyone else anymore, but he would think it was hilarious.
Yeah, he'd think it's hilarious. And then he would say, and here's a picture of a goose with what was he saying? With tons of damage.
Tons of damage.
And you know, he'd say it totally straight-faced and everyone would crack up. I don't think that guy knows just how funny he is. And that's probably to our benefit.
Yeah.
But moving on, and actually to revisit our topic there, we've got those two new skins. And regardless of the way that we're going to pronounce them, the fact is, I own Veigar. I've played him a couple times. I don't own a skin for him, so this might actually be something that interests me, because he does have a top hat.
Yeah, and I think there was a study done by the University of Chicago that showed top hats are definitely cool.
Yeah, well, and I think that they probably increase your AP, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, name any situation that you can add a top hat and it would be less cool, and I'll call you a liar.
The assassination of Abraham Lincoln.
Dude, there weren't enough top hats there. The top hat made it so cool.
Well, I think our dwelling on the subject has revealed that no matter how good, and it is good, the art is for that Sandstorm Katarina, I think superb villain Veigar takes the candy on this one.
Well, speaking of hats, you know that's the next step, right? You can have a skin and then have your own hat, customize.
Oh yeah, and then we can craft our hats.
Mm-hmm.
I feel items. Like we're getting a little off genre here. but it's worth noting. I mean, I think we're both of the same opinion here that League of Legends is the free game that started off perfect. And now we're paying for it, and I'm very happily paying for it. Whereas Team Fortress 2 was the pay-to-play game that started off perfect.
And now
that it's free, it's terrible.
Yeah.
I know there's tons of people out there who would disagree with us, but I cannot stand to play that game anymore.
Well, it's like Valve's own people call it the world's foremost war-themed hat simulator, I believe.
if that's true, that's hilarious. Yeah, and if it isn't, we need to make it happen. You're right. It's, you know, people are trading hats. There's people out there who are making, you know, thousands of dollars trading hats. Like on eBay, man. That happens.
I'm kind of glad that does not happen in League of Legends. If you could like sell IP, that would be.
Yeah. And I think that the people at Riot are forward thinking enough that they're not going to let that happen. But moving on from the hat subject, you know, I've been seeing some kind of trends here in gameplay over the last couple of weeks. And maybe I'm just a little more sensitive to the first one that I'll bring up, because I do a lot of jungling. You know, I do a lot of jungling.
Mm-hmm.
In our competitive team, I'm the jungler, but I've been having to deal with Skarners invading my jungle.
We have a competitive team?
Well, we have a competitive team in the sense that it is in the competitive bracket. That wasn't to say that our team is competitive.
Okay.
I don't want to confuse you there. So on our competitive team, regardless of its competitiveness, I am the jungler, and over and over and over, and not only have I been seeing more Skarners, but they're always in my jungle.
Are we talking about Opinus now?
Yeah, I think Skarner's Opinus.
Yeah, Skarner's Opinus lately has been getting larger. I've noticed a lot of Skarners in the game, and it's like, you know, they buffed him, what was it, maybe a month ago?
Yeah.
And you didn't really see him that much, but it seems like all of a sudden people have rediscovered Skarner and everyone's playing. It's like, who can one-on-one him?
I don't know. I sit there and I try on Warwick, who's usually great in the one-on-one, and he gets tooled.
Yeah.
In that early game, just Skarner destroys him. Maybe, you know, there is a bit of a trade-off there. I think that every Skarner that I see make it to the late game, they don't tend to contribute nearly as much as other junglers at that point. But they're so strong to start off with.
Yeah.
And if your team can't, like, if your lanes can't respond to you immediately in the jungle, if Skarner shows up, it's like it's game over for you. And you're going to be a level behind for the rest of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, so Skarner is, and people are like, I think there's a group of people who are junglers, and I've done some jungling under your tutelage, but there are people who don't like jungle champions like Warwick, who can't, quote-unquote, do anything until level 6.
Which, every now and then, I get the opportunity to show that that isn't true, but let's face it, he really comes into his own at level 6.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is that Skarner, he can. He's got the move speed buff. He's got, and I think his historical weakness has made him sort of like the sleeper.
Yeah.
You know, people over the past, since he came out, and then for a while, it's like, oh, a Skarner, I'm twittering with fear. No, it's he can do stuff now. So
he falls into that sort of category of jungler that Xin Zhao does. But there's a big difference between the two of them. Xin Zhao is a great ganker early on, just like Skarner is pre-6. But Xin Zhao doesn't have the survivability that Skarner does in those pre-6 levels. He's still pretty fragile.
Yeah.
But maybe that's what it is. It just comes down to that late game. So, but right now, I'm just going to throw it out there. I think Skarner's jungle, his OP-ness is out of hand.
Yeah.
On the complete other end of the spectrum, let's talk about our new contender. You know who I'm talking about.
Remind me.
He's better than Swain in every way, except that he's bad.
Our new contender.
Yes,
okay.
Our new contender.
A challenger or a player two has made a challenge. Victor, man. Victor is... I've seen him either do really well or really terrible. Most of the time, it's really terrible.
And do you think that's like the new factor that people haven't figured out how to play him yet? Or is he just not quite getting there?
I don't know, because I think the whole... I didn't buy him, so I haven't played him yet, because I think the whole item thing is a little bit stupid. I don't think Riot should have messed with that.
I feel like the item thing should have made him inherently OP.
Yeah.
But maybe it doesn't seem like that's the case.
But maybe it depends on what you do with it. The one guy I saw own with Victor used his item for his... stun thing.
For his better than Swain
in every way. Slow plus stun.
For people who don't know what this ability does, it throws a section on the ground that's roughly just the same size, maybe a little bit larger than Swain's ability. And Swain's ability goes on the ground, and after a time, it ticks down and stuns anyone who's inside of it. This is the same size, if not bigger.
Snare.
Or yeah, snares them.
So you can still use abilities.
Right. So this is the same size, if not bigger.
It's bigger.
Okay, it's bigger. It slows. If you're in it for long enough, it stuns. Like, it doesn't snare you, right? It stuns you, doesn't it?
It stuns you. You can't do anything.
Yeah. So it's like it's better in every way.
But it doesn't do damage. Like, but Swain's does like token damage.
The damage on his snare is, it's just there.
Have you ever seen a Swain kill someone with his snare? No, that doesn't happen.
No, because he snares them and then he lightning birds them to death and does everything else, just basically face rolls over the keyboard. And I don't think that you get that kind of luxury with Victor. But I mean, yes, this ability is better, but I just haven't seen him perform.
Well, I think it's maybe summoners who realize this and that are able to place it. I think that is the signature ability of Victor. His little laser thing. The problem, I think, is people are like, oh, I'm going to play AP. I'm going to do so much damage and one-shot people. Yeah. No, no. Play the controller. Upgrade your root thing. Put that in the middle of the team fight. How can you lose a team fight if their entire team is slowed and then stunned?
That's true.
How does that happen? I mean, yeah, your laser might do an extra 50 damage, and that's what everybody is upgrading. But the team fight, I mean, five champions stunned, it's like a Sona, you know?
Yeah. You know, and it seems like he's really well paired to kind of play up next to, and we'll probably not see a lot of them both in game, but with our last new challenger, Ahri, who's, you know, I've been seeing less and less of her, you know, now that her free week is gone, thank God.
Oh my God.
But, I mean, let's talk about a champion that I feel is just on the complete other end of the spectrum when she was introduced from Victor. You know, here's a champion that the only argument anyone's ever been able to present to me on why she's not overpowered is sometimes you miss your skill shots. And that's not a valid argument anymore, because quite frankly, the only people who are left playing her at this point are the people who can hit her skill shots.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if your argument for a champion being not OP is that you can't play her well, then that's not a good argument.
Yeah, and I understand there's an allure to a champion who has a really high skill curve, you know, where you can, like, if you're really good with them, that you get more reward out of it. But there's a point at which, you know, the skill curve needs to plateau so that you don't just overpower everybody else. I mean, come on now. Like, she's true damage? Really?
Yeah.
She needed true damage?
Yeah. And how many times have you thought you were getting away, and then the ball comes back, and you're like, oh yeah, it comes back.
Right.
And then you're dead.
And it's not like it comes back slow either, you know? This thing doesn't travel like a Sivir Q. It, you know, this thing is fast.
Yeah.
Other people we've been seeing. Actually, you know what? I was going to say Lee Sin, but I'm not. I'm going to say Atmogs.
Yep. Atmogs. I mean, place whatever champion you want in an Atmogs, and, you know, there you go.
It's like it's the new flavor of the week.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, and I had this experiment. I know we were talking about it before, is, you know, can you build Atmogs in any champion and have it be viable? I'm not talking about viable like, oh, high ELO. No, this is low low ELO.
Yeah, this is low talking ELO radio, people.
Normals, I mean, in a normal game, how many Atmogs do you see? Sometimes you see two, three, maybe four Atmogs on one team. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, and for the uninitiated, once again, what we're talking about is the combination of a Warmogs and an Atmos Impaler. Warmogs, yeah, being the one that gives you ridiculous amounts of health, and Atmos being a attack damage item and critical hit item that gives you scaling attack power with your, or attack damage based on your health. It is seriously flavor of the month at this point, and I'm not really sure why, because quite frankly, Madred's is still good.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know. One problem I know that I've always had, you know, I play a lot of Ezreal, and
and you play it very well, my friend.
But getting Madred's is such a, you have to dedicate a lot of time. Well, I know you from playing Warwick, you gave up going for Madred's because it takes way too long to get.
Oh, it's true. I actually no longer get a Madred's unless my like first three ganks out of the bushes were really fruitful and I got the kills. Then I'll forego a Wriggles and I'll get one of the Madred's, but it's just too expensive. You spend too much time trying to build it.
Well, and the reason you go Madred's is because of the magic damage based on their health, which is why it's the counter to Warmogs. But building up to it, you get a pickaxe. What's that? 25 damage. You get a recurve bow, 20% attack speed. And it gives you a little boost. But if you're going Warmogs, you get that giant's belt. That's extra 450 health right there. You get the ruby crystal, another 250 health.
It's true. Everything it scales a lot nicer throughout the game.
everything you build going up Atmogs makes you even more and more tanky. So, and Madrids, it's like if you have an incomplete Madrids, you might as well have nothing.
That's true. That's true. It's like Atmogs, Warmogs. It really kind of fills the place on the defense end of the Infinity Blade. It's like Infinity Edge. Infinity Edge is good at every single stage.
Yep.
We've been seeing a lot of it. Maybe all it comes down to is just people don't know how armor and magic resist works. Because let's face it, we're seeing a lot of these, but are they really creating a huge problem for us?
It's more annoying than it is a problem,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly, because here,
like,
they
really?
Are with
you
an extra...
You got Atmogs on, you know, like, Misfortune?
Yeah, you know? And it's like, sure, now Misfortune has an extra 1,000 health on her, which is really annoying, but when you're going up against, like, an AP carry who can queue you for 900, it doesn't really matter in the late game.
Yeah.
So what's next, then? You know, let's do a little speculation. Is this going to be a fad? Is this something that's going to turn into something bigger? I mean, is there going to be a Warmogs or an Atmos nerf?
Well, what's funny is this whole thing is coming off of a Warmogs nerf. I mean, they nerfed the max health from, what, 450 to 350 when it's fully stacked? You know, so it's like they nerf Warmogs, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, everyone gets a Warmogs. Hey, Nidalee? Eh, I've seen so many Nidalees with Atmogs lately.
and I'm okay with that. I mean, if you want to play a Nidalee with an Atmogs, that's great, because it just means that when you throw your spear at me, I can run into it. Like, that's kind of the hallmark right there. I see somebody carrying an Atmogs, and I realize I don't need to fear them. Maybe I need to fear the whole team, but that individual, I'm good.
Yeah.
Because you do sacrifice something. You get a lot of health, you get very tanky, but you've sacrificed a lot of damage, and I don't think you make up for it enough with an Atmos Impaler.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? I'm hoping that it's just a fad. I'm hoping that it goes away and people start building armor again, or magic resist again, like sensible people, because I feel like I'm doing something wrong. I feel like I'm seeing a whole lot of this, and maybe I should be building Warmogs, but I just can't bring myself to do it.
No,
the good
Jeff,
thing is I keep
winning. Everyone else. Everyone else is crazy.
Everyone else is crazy. Exactly. But that's the mentality that, you know, I'm sitting here telling myself this. Everyone else is insane. Everyone has got it wrong except for me. And then I think about that and I go, well, maybe I'm not nearly as amazing at this game as I think I am. I'm actually pretty humble because I don't have nearly the win record that you've got or the experience that you've got. But I can't be alone in this. And I don't think, and I think you agree with me, that it seems kind of strange that people are doing this and they're not building, you know, they're not building magic resist. They're not building armor.
I mean, you remember how popular Randuin's used to be?
And how often do we see that anymore?
Yeah, no, it's like, people are like, screw Randuin's.
Yeah, when was the last time that you saw a Frozen Heart that wasn't on your team?
You mean that I wasn't carrying in my inventory?
Exactly. Because, I mean, let's face it, Frozen Heart, for a lot of champions out there, is like the end-all armor item. It's good. But I'm not seeing it on people anymore. They think they can just stack health.
I even like getting it on casters, you know, because you get that big mana pool, lots of cooldown.
Oh, exactly. I love putting it on Warwick in the jungle. I mean, obviously, by the time you throw it on him, he's well out of the jungle. But, you know, it's a great item for anyone who needs some armor and needs some mana. I mean, it does everything else. It gives you the cooldown. It gives you the slow on all of their attack damage. I mean, come on. It's great. Why wouldn't you want this over a Warmogs? Of course, unless you're just going up against a bunch of, you know, magic.
Ahri's.
Yeah, exactly. You're going up against a bunch of Ahri. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. It's the true damage from Ahri. And the only way to... How do you combat true damage? Lots of health. Maybe that's all it is. We're just coming off of the heels of another champion that has true damage built into their abilities.
Yeah, so, and that would be interesting if we thought, like, you know, back when Olaf came out, you know, everyone was like, oh, why true damage, OP. Let's see, who else? And Vayne. Vayne had true damage on her silver bullets.
That, you know what? That's probably the component that we're missing right there, because Vayne is still a really, really good carry. And there's all that true damage. We're seeing true damage from Ahri. I can't remember the last time I saw an Olaf, so we'll just ignore that one. Maybe it's just the prevalence of true damage. But I'm seeing people building it in every game, even if we don't have a true damage on our team. So there's something else going on there. I can't speculate on it. It's weird.
I think it has to do with Madrid sucking until it's complete.
maybe. But my best advice for people who think Madrids suck is, you know what? If you're in the mode of getting the Madrids, why don't you try out getting a Wriggles and a Wit's End? Just try it out for me. Now, I know I don't have to convince you, but a Wriggles and a Wit's End in so many situations is an amazing combo. And the nice thing is that you get, you know, you get your lifesteal, you get to ramp up with some magic resist.
And then and some armor.
Yeah, and some armor, so you get tanky with it. You get to throw down that vision ward every now and then. It's kind of a win-win situation. It's a good couple of items. It takes up two item slots, but come on. If you're going to build a Madreds, you've probably got three other item slots filled already.
Yep.
Okay, well, let's move on just a little bit. You know, there is a little one piece of real world of the real world that I want to bring into this, and it's something that you know, people think that it's not a huge deal right now, especially probably most of our LoL players. I know I don't really think about it all that often, but it's worth mentioning, and that is, you know, we've got the caucuses going on for the Republican nomination for the presidency.
What's a caucus?
Tell you when you're older, Calvi.
Okay.
So the important question here is with, you know, our front runners, we've got like Mitt Romney. He's the one who's supposed to be winning right now, right? Yeah, Mitt Romney, Ron Paul, Newt Gingrich. I want to know, who do you think, what champion do you think has a legitimate chance of winning the Republican nomination for the presidency?
Honestly, if I had to pick any champion in League of Legends to be the Republican nominee for president, it would be
And they Dr. have to have Mundo. A chance to win.
It would be Dr. Mundo.
Oh. Well, he is a doctor.
He's got the education, you know, the credentials. And one thing Republicans do, they go where they please, right?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
You're right. Right. So do you think that, like, maybe Dr. Mundo might have a little bit of a reputation with that whole, I go where I please, people might be concerned about him in the Ron Paul fashion, that maybe his foreign policy isn't quite up to par?
Exactly. I mean, the foreign policy, he goes where he pleases. He's going to invade, you know, Ionia if he wants, which would be a metaphor for, I don't know, Iraq. And, you know, he's got the ability to damage himself and everyone around him.
Well, but I'm starting to wonder, are you describing the typical Republican candidate, or are you describing an ideal Republican candidate? Because you're starting to sound like you're just describing the typical candidate.
Well, what is not ideal about hurting everyone around you?
Touche. Touche, my cutting friend. You know, I think that if I'm going to pick anybody, you know, I'm going to pick Nocturne. Okay. And you know why?
Why?
Because Nocturne is the guy who's going to come out of nowhere and he's going to take this thing. Let's face it. If the Republicans want a solid chance, they need someone who can win. They don't need necessarily someone who can, you know, take the presidency, but, you know, they'd have a lot going for him.
One. Well, yeah. And Democrats, it's not like you can place wards to counter Nocturne, because he can come from out of range.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He will come from absolutely nowhere, and he'll just take this thing in like three hits. Nocturne is OP, both in politics and in Summoner's Rift.
Yeah.
Well, Thanks for joining us, folks, for episode one of Low Elo. I've been Jeff, a.k.a. Eat Crayons. Look us up. And this has been my host.
Oh, this is Dave, a.k.a. Compy386. Yeah, check us out. We're going to have set up a Twitter feed and all that kind of social media crap. So make sure you tune into that.
And the website. Don't forget the website.
And the website, lowelo.com. If you have trouble spelling that, then please don't listen to our show.
Right. It's six letters. It's pretty easy. Thanks for listening, folks. And you have a wonderful day.
I left Bernardino with a 44 in my hand. On an old plank highway across the burning sand. Justice and I robbed her blind. I'm not a good man, but I'm hard to find. Way out in the desert in a snakeskin tent, where it looks like God forgot to pay the rent. But it suits me finer than anywhere else I go on the corduroy road. For supper I catch fried fish in a lake of dust. Then I'll hit the mining town that went from boom to bust. Where nooses and bullet holes pave the streets, there's ghost town ladies underneath the sheets. This left-hand tavern gets so damn hot, you can drink your beer or watch it turn into a shot and toast the old prospector who blew his mother load on the corduroy road. I met a Dust Bowl beauty at the rain dance Friday night. She broke my heart just to drink the tears I cried. But I'm glad I'm living where the pickings lean, with a sack of silver and a full canteen. And when I die, don't you bury me, just park my carcass in a cactus tree and leave my jerky to the pack rat and horny toad on the corduroy road.
All right. And that's all there is to it.
That was so good.
Wasn't that awesome?
Yeah.